Put this into perspective. I mean, for many countries, you know, a 350 million program per year would be a lot of money. In India, it's a drop in a bucket. You know, to think that, you know, the World Bank has a portfolio of 6 billion in India just gives you the scale. And so whatever we do with our relatively small resources, especially for a country like India, needs to be scalable, it needs to be impactful, it needs to be focused. So the usual challenge for the UN is to focus on a limited number of priority areas, because, you know, we have 24 agencies registered in Delhi, and each of them, of course, has their own mandate and their own focus. How to combine that and coalesce it around the SDG agenda is really the challenge now, and that's what we're struggling with and going through, but we'll get there.
I mean, you're here at the High Level Political Forum to get new ideas and to share expertise. And what have you learned so far that's useful when it comes to working with India?
I think the Secretary General's message was quite good. Many people commented on how focused, you know, on the four big issues it was for the world. India is 50% of the SDGs. I mean, it's not a scientifically, you know, exact number, but if you look anywhere from poverty to sanitation to any goal you look at, India is between 30 and 60% of that goal. Having said that, you know, India is growing. It's a positive story. They have been lifting people out of poverty. And while the challenges remain tremendous and daunting, just in sheer number, think of a number that a country needs to vocationally train 400 million people in the next 10 years.
1.3 billion people, many live in abject poverty. I mean, looking from the outside, you might say that India's challenges look overwhelming in order to meet these goals by 2030.
I joke with my friends that nothing that you've done in life in the UN or outside prepares you for serving in India. So I knock off the last three zeros just to, on any number, just to sleep well at night. The challenges are daunting and the numbers are huge. Let's give them credit where it's due. Poverty dropped to 270 million from 600 million over a decade ago. And so they are achieving tremendous progress and have been growing at an average of 8 to 9, you know, percent per year. And while, as economists, we don't necessarily believe in automatic trickle-down, many people have been elevated out of poverty and increasingly they're focused on gainful official employment. So, look, the country is moving very, very quickly. And while the challenges are daunting and we shouldn't minimize them, I think there's, in India's case, a very positive and very forward-looking story that has to be told.
So overall, from your perspective with the UN, how effective has India been so far with implementation?
People ask me, what do you think are the top three priorities for India? And I, surprisingly for them, say that it is women's empowerment and education. And they kind of raise their eyebrows. And I say, look, you know, you can talk about infrastructure, you can talk about, you know, anything else. But if you don't have those two, all the rest become impossible. I think there's a strategic challenge on water. Just because of combination of human activity and climate change and where India is and the geography. That, I think, is a threat that they're increasingly focusing on very seriously. People accuse India of having jobless growth. That's not exactly correct. The problem is we can't measure what the jobs have been created because 80% of the country is in the informal sector of the economy. So very difficult to measure how many jobs did. But empirical evidence suggests that jobs have and are being created. And as the country moves from informal economy to a more formal and regulated economy, I think those numbers will become clearer. But no, it is a difficult story, but it's far from a pessimistic one.
And you said earlier that gender equality should be a big priority. Mm. In what ways is that impacting on the SDGs and getting to these targets?
Well, look, I mean, India has a couple of indicators that are just going against the positive story. One of them is women's participation in the labor force. It's at this point 26-27%, which is actually and coming down, which is a surprise story that many people cannot explain. The second indicator that is going in the wrong direction is what we call regional disparities. Usually when countries lift out of poverty and grow that quickly economically, regions develop and harmonize and converge more quickly. It happened in China. It happened in many other countries. The government knows about them. They are certainly there on the development agenda. Let's see how they address it. We're actually waiting for India's National Development Strategy, the vision for the next 15 years, which is there in draft, but not yet has been finalized and published and extensively consulted with the citizens. So let's see what comes out of there. I don't want to run ahead of things, but they'll address it.
So it looks as if all the kind of pieces are in place here in terms of a national plan, a regional plan. The politicians taking it all very seriously, but you're saying that they're just the pace perhaps needs to increase some.
Look, it's coming together, and you know, to be fair to this government, they've been in power for 3 years. It's in economic terms, it's not a long period. A lot of big things are happening. I mean, 2 weeks ago they've introduced the GST across the country, which goods and services tax, which for the first time in India's history, at least modern history, will create a single economic space, and that is tremendous. Again, underreported, in December they passed a law on people with disabilities, which came completely underreported both in India and internationally. But frankly, it is one of the unique laws in southern countries that rival the Americans with Disabilities Act or equal legislation in Europe, and from which 150 million people will benefit. So in terms of leave no one behind, there is these huge swaths of the population that are getting focus, getting attention. Implementation, you asked about this before, has been an issue in India, and indeed, you know, implementing a brilliant legislative framework or a system of laws down to the grassroots where, you know, everybody sees the results and the benefits has been a challenge. But they're dealing with it in the sense that they finally brought into perspective the need to measure by results. So results-based management is becoming the government philosophy. Let's see how quickly they can do it, but they're certainly moving in that direction.
And what about the challenge, obviously, with this, you know, the fastest economic growth rate in the world, fastest population growth currently?
Yeah.
The challenge of making all this development sustainable?
I think that's the challenge for any economy, not only the Indian one. In Indian one, it's all highlighted because of the pressures of the population and the size of the country. So obviously, it is there. I think on the sustainability side, quite a bit needs to be worked out still globally. I don't think any country yet has a good idea of how to measure sustainability. I mean, we know it when we see it, but you know, if you can't measure it, you can't target it. So I think nobody in the world really understands, you know, the goal about sustainable consumption and what it really means, and needs to translate it into some very concrete metrics, which again will happen in the coming months. But having said that, look, they are moving, and today in India's you know, side event at the HLPF, they were talking about that in 14 out of 17 SDGs, they actually had massive government programs and schemes before the summit and before the SDGs were signed. So in a way, you know, Speaker of Parliament told me, says, you know what, Yuri, said, SDGs are very good for us because they actually coincide with our philosophy of life, which is an interesting perspective to put on the SDGs.